season. Now perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates
and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the final podcast of the Waffle 2019 season. My name's Ash Nelson and thanks for joining us as we recap the weekend and what has unfolded in the Waffle Grand Final. Sam Gerling joins me today and Sam, before we get started, I'm going to play you this.
Well, that sounds like deja vu from yesterday when Subiaco absolutely smashed South Fremantle. Unfortunately, not a very competitive game. At one point, there was an 11-goal streak from Subi. Ash, we'll be coming back to that later.
Yes, just coming up, we're going to be talking to 6PM Waffle commentator Jimmy Williams, and also we'll be recapping all the results from the finals, not just the Waffle Grand Final, but also the reserves and Colts. All that coming up. Well, Sam, it might not come as a surprise to many, but Subiaco, they've done it. They've won back-to-back premierships with a win over South Fremantle Bulldogs yesterday at Optus Stadium. And it was a dominant performance with the Lions with a massive 96-point victory over the Bulldogs. The final score, 18-12, 120. South Fremantle with just 3 goals, 6-24. And Sam, you were there. We'll get more analysis from Jimmy Williams coming up. But in your opinion, as a general punter watching on, what was your take? Why did South Fremantle struggle against a side which they, well, by all reports, could have matched it with?
Well, they did beat Subiaco back in round 6 and have since been beaten twice by them again, round 11 and the first round of the finals. But yesterday, you could see their effort was there. South Freo was giving it all they could. They were trying to tackle hard. They were trying to do all the one percenters. But in the end, they were just outmatched in terms of skills. At one point, or especially, you know, second, third quarter, they couldn't even get the ball out of their defensive 50. And, you know, one point, Sokol lines up for his 5th goal and Matt from the Monday Waffle, one of our co-presenters, said, "Not another one, honestly." So, it was a bit of a shame to see South Fremantle work so hard over the season to fight for that spot just to be humiliated.
And you were there and it was all happening at Optus Stadium. They had about 18,000 people attend the game. What did you feel as though the atmosphere was like in such a big stadium with that amount of people?
Well, it was obviously a bit of a contrast to, say, an Eagles or a Derby match for that matter. However, it still felt like enough. It still felt like a good atmosphere and a family atmosphere. There were so many families there with kids running around ready for the kick on the field afterwards. But yeah, I do think there was definitely enough people to make it worthwhile.
And I think that's a rare thing to get, isn't it? To be able to go onto the field at Optus Stadium after and to kick a football. So I think certainly a sensational opportunity for a lot of fans to get down there and do that. Did you go onto the field after with Matt?
I had to scoot. No, actually, in truth, I didn't have a football and I knew I would be sad on that field without a football.
Fair point. Hey, Sam, I actually got a couple of stats. We're just taking a look at the Waffle website previously. Now, it's the 4th premiership in 6 years for Subiaco, 8th in the past 16 years, which that means that they've got a total of 15 flags to the club's credit and history. Since the pain of losing a second straight grand final to Peel Thunder in 2017, Subiaco has now won 38 of 39 matches, which is just incredible. So goes to show the dominance that they've had in the competition, not only this year, but over a number of years.
And I think it's also important to note that that is also over a change of coach. Like Bo Waterman this year started off as coach at Subi and, you know, pushed them all the way through to take out the premiership. So, you know, you can't discredit them that throughout a number of changes, they've still managed to uphold that position.
And a number of players now with a number of premierships under their belt. Kyle Horsley now with 5 premierships under his belt. Sandover medalist Lachlan Delahunty, that's 4 premierships for him. First year captain Lee Kitchen, he becomes a triple Waffle premiership player. And he had a fantastic game as well. 19 disposals, 9 tackles and a goal. And also a nice finish for Clancy Wheeler. He earned his spot back in the Subiaco team game was going to be his last game, and he's ended up a champion as well. So a lot of players integral to that side, and you know, they've done well getting that many premierships to their name. Sam, if we take a look at the goal kickers for Subiaco, who have we got?
Well, we've got Sokol on 6, amazing. Marsh on 3, Delahunty on 2, as well as Kitchen, Joyce, Moore, Newton, Wheeler, Horsley, and Edwards-Baldwin. So you can see they've really got the whole team up there. And from South Fremantle, we've got Schloyth, Stewart, and Buick. So, Ash, best on ground, who were the top players?
Well, if we take a look at the top players, Sokol from Subiaco, as you mentioned, he got 6 goals, sensational there. Horsley, Delahunty, just the usual clan that would be up there. Bort was also good, Newton, Lockie and Marsh. And then for South Fremantle, even though it was a bit of a dirty day for them, Main and Florenka, Pearson, Higgins and Subin all up there. But the Simpson medal was awarded to Ben Sokol, and so it should have been. He was sensational on the day. 6 goals from 12 kicks and 8 marks.
And the Simpson Medal has been awarded since 1945, so a big part of the WA Hall of Fame, as I'd like to say.
There you go, fun fact from Sam Girling. Sam, coming up, we're going to be talking to Jimmy Williams. Well, fresh from the grand final and having a day off as well, much deserved, we have with us 6PR commentator Jimmy Williams join us on the Monday Waffle. Jimmy, hope that you're enjoying your day off. How was it yesterday as a commentator to be able to get the grand final?
Oh, it was thrilling, Ash. Thanks for having me, first and foremost. Yeah, a terrific day, a picture-perfect day in Perth, but unfortunately the contest didn't end up going the way that I suppose a lot of viewers would have wanted. Subiaco just showing again how dominant they are and how dominant they've been for 6 years now, 6 grand finals in a row. And yesterday, 18-12, 120 to 3-6, 24, a 96-point win over South Fremantle. It was a pleasure to be there, Ash. Unfortunately, South Fremantle, they didn't show up to the best of their ability, I thought, yesterday. But it just shows you how dominant Subiaco are as a football club. And yeah, to go back-to-back, they'll be thrilled with that.
And, you know, only 2 years ago you were in our place. It must have been pretty exciting being calling the grand final.
Yeah, you're spot on, Sam. 2 years out of the post-grad. I've been lucky enough to do 2 in a row now for 6PR last year. Of course, Subiaco and West Perth, the team that I sort of follow, West Perth. So sad to see them go down last year. But to be able to do it 2 years in a row, Sam, a privilege. And to be able to do it from Optus Stadium as well, one of, if not the best stadium in the country with top-class facilities. Last year with Peter Vlahos, this year with Adam Papalia. Loved every minute of it. Loved calling the goals. That's always the favourite part of the call, is when you get to call a big a shot on goal or a major. And luckily for me, yesterday, Subiaco ran through 18. So, yeah, it was great. Great experience. Love commentating, especially the Waffle. It's a good competition where you see a lot of really good players play, and a lot of former AFL talent in the competition. So, yeah, looking to continually build. It's not an easy skill and something you've always got to work hard at to keep on improving at.
Hey, Jimmy, you talked about the 96-point defeat. In your opinion, what went wrong for South Fremantle? Because they were touted as really one of the only teams that would be able to match it with Subiaco, and then there was just that absolute blowout.
A huge blowout, Ash. I mean, the start of the game, the very start of the game, South Fremantle did everything right. They had the first scoring shot of the day where they had a snap-on goal and they kicked it behind. But from there, Subiaco, well, they just sort of got on top. They kicked the first goal of the day through Harry Marsh, and then there was a response from Sean Buick to South Fremantle. And after that, it was just goal after goal after goal for Subiaco, who just blew it out to a 53-point lead at halftime. And from there, that margin, you know, that's going to be an extreme comeback if it were to be for the Bulldogs yesterday. And one of the players at Subiaco told me, you know, when a team comes at them and wants to play hard and play fair, of course, and try to catch them, as they are the best in the competition and have been for the last 2 seasons, obviously with back-to-back flags, is don't poke the bear. And, they're 22... The players that played yesterday are just 22 selfless footballers, and they all leave their egos at the door. And it's just an impressive organisation, Ash. And the other 8 Waffle clubs, I know, are doing everything they can to try and get to where Subiaco are. So 6 grand finals in a row, back-to-back premierships. And it's important not to forget that two of those grand finals that they lost, or the two that they did lose, in fact, were to Peel Thunder, who have that Fremantle alignment. So that they were playing against lots of AFL-listed players in those two grand finals, and they really took it to them in both of those games. So who knows what could have been if not for those alignments. But as I said, selfless young footballers, a change of coach as well, taking nothing away from Bo Wardman. So Jared Schofield goes out. Bo Wardman is the new captain of the ship, and they're just, the playing group just know what to expect from one another, and they demand professionalism from each other. And I think that's the most evident thing that I've noticed and seen in the past two grand finals I've been lucky enough to call them.
What was the turnout like for Optus Stadium? Was there enough people there to fill the stadium to create some form of atmosphere?
That's what I was a little bit worried about, Asha. Last year, Subiaco had all three of their teams in grades playing grand finals, Colts, Reserves, and of course, League. So last year, I think there was a little bit of a bigger crowd. I can't remember the exact number, but there was still a pretty good turnout yesterday, 18,941. A terrific day. The conditions were absolutely perfect. But I suppose from a neutral's perspective, does that turn off people going to the ground, knowing that Subiaco are playing again and being the dominant team that they are? South Fremantle, don't get me wrong, South Fremantle always had a chance to win yesterday. That was their attitude through the week. It was a 50-50 game. Their coach said anything's possible on grand final day. As I said, they started the game okay, the first scoring shot, and then managed to kick an early goal to give them some confidence. But it all fell apart. And from where I saw it, the credit has to go to Subiaco.
It was always going to be a bit of an uphill battle for South Fremantle, though. I mean, they lost quite a few experienced players to VFL, AFL. It might have been a different story if Marlon Pickett was included, do you think?
What a remarkable story this is. So Marlon Pickett goes in the mid-season draft. He ends up at Richmond after a finger injury that threatened to derail his mid-season draft chances. He gets picked up. From all reports, he's done everything right at Richmond, and then in the VFL Grand Final, he plays for Richmond and gets best on ground. Look, Marlon Pickett's a terrific player, pardon me, but one man can only do so much. And, I mean, what was the margin? 96. Maybe if Marlon Pickett plays in the Grand Final, the margin is reduced a little bit. He's a star player and someone you want in your team. But I suppose on the other side of the coin, Ash, you can think about it like this, is that Subiaco also lost two players in the mid-season draft this season. They lost Jack Mayo, a youngster who ended up at St Kilda, and they also lost DeLuca, who ended up at Carlton and was playing some senior footy for them at the end of the season. So, Marlon Pickett, a star of the comp in the Waffle, and hopefully a star in the AFL in the years to come as he gets his chance. Who knows, it could even be in the AFL Grand Final this weekend, but, yeah, it's you can look at it like that. Would the margin have been a little bit smaller, perhaps? But Josh DeLuca, I think he was a star of the competition before he ended up at Carlton. And yeah, but no doubt he would have been playing for Subiaco yesterday had he not been taken in the mid-season draft.
So 6 years now, Subi's been consecutive grand finals, and even with Bo Wardman at the helm, they've taken out the premiership. What do you think in coming years? Who can
knock them off their pedestal?
Them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems the impossible task, doesn't it? But if you look at the Subiaco list, Clancy Wheeler, of course, going out on a high yesterday, so he's going to retire. And there is word coming out today that perhaps former Hawk Angus Litherland, who played some games at Hawthorn, is going to pursue a punting career in the NFL over in America. Oh, yeah. So let's assume they lose. We know they lose Clancy Wheeler, who's retiring. Let's assume Angus Litherland does take that pass. There's every chance a guy like Ben Sokol could be drafted into the AFL system. You know, five goals in last year's grand final. He kicked six and won the Simpson medal yesterday. He was absolutely fantastic. And he's worked so hard just to get his opportunity at Subiaco. Ironically, was once upon a time at South Fremantle and couldn't get a game. So he's worked his backside off. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a shot in the national or the rookie draft. He'd be a perfect second or third tall at an AFL club. So there goes a few. Kyle Horsley, whether or not he goes around again, he probably does because he's such a good player. He was terrific yesterday for all of his experience. So, yeah, catching Subiaco, I think what clubs need to do is just look at their local guys and also look at their recruiting and how they can, who they can bring in and how they can bring them in fairly and evenly with the money that they've got or the whatever resources they can use to get guys into their club, because it's something that Subiaco have been so good at. And hopefully for the other clubs, they can add some depth to their squads and have a crack at them in 2020.
Yeah, well, Claremont, I mean, they did pretty well if you're looking at reserves and Colts, so they might have a potential of bringing some local products through. We'll have to wait and see in the coming years. But you mentioned Ben Sokol. He was huge also managed to get the Simpson medal on the day. Do you think that he was the right choice, or was there any number of players that could have gone to?
Oh, it could have gone to a few of them. I thought the Sandover medalist Lachlan Delahunty was pretty good, but I really wanted to see Ben Sokol win at Ash. He kicked a bag last year and missed out, so it was great to see him. And he could have had even more than six goals. I think he ended up with six goals, three or something. So he was really dominant yesterday. But he's just the one at the front end of the field that finishes off all of the hard work. Kyle Horsley, another one who was terrific yesterday, he could have put his hand up for the Simpson, but no, I was happy and pretty content to see Ben Sokol win it. Bernie Naylor medalist, 54 goals from the regular season. He's been a terrific forward. And, yeah, any time a forward kicks, you know, five-plus, six-plus goals with some scoring shots in a grand final, yeah, they're always going to be hard to knock off. I'm not entirely sure what the voting was, but I think he thoroughly deserved the Simpson.
Hey, Jimmy, just quickly before we go, I'm going through some of the stats. We mentioned it before. The fourth premiership in 6 years, eighth in 16 years. Do you think the Waffle should be concerned about the dominance of this club that is Subiaco? Is there any concern that, I guess, a few of the punters and fans might be getting turned away because they are so dominant in the competition?
I think the competition's in a really unique phase. Subiaco, as you said, have been so dominant for so long. A new coach and nothing really changed except for the one loss that they had opposed to none last year. They've been terrific at getting former AFL guys back to the club, and that's a culture thing. They know that when they are finishing up their AFL careers, or they don't continue as they'd like in the AFL, they know that they can go to a club that is professional, has high standards, and is determined to win. And I'm not saying the other clubs aren't like that. I'm sure they are, but I'm sure there are bits and pieces that they could pick up from the way that Subiaco do their business, both on and off the field, to develop their lists. Recruiting is a big one. Subiaco have been awesome, as I said, at getting former AFL listed guys back, but they still have guys from their zone that they've continued to develop and keep at their club and give games to. So, yeah, it's a really interesting one. I think the competition's in a really unique phase because of also the alignment with Peel Thunder and now the addition of another team with West Coast. So what that does is basically, well, it dilutes the talent in the sense that a lot of the players prior to the alignments that were spread across the clubs, respectively, are now obviously playing at Peel and West Coast. So that's one thing. And then clubs that don't necessarily have the resources or, say, the finances to get players that they really want across the line, like Subiaco have been able to do in recent seasons, it puts them behind the eight ball, doesn't it? So, look, I think the competition should be somewhat concerned, but, you know, West Perth, for all their financial struggles over the past few years, made the grand final last year. This year it was South Fremantle. They were both a long way off Subiaco, but in saying that, this year South Fremantle were able to beat them at one point in time. So there's a lot of factors at play, Ash. Certainly, I think it's good and productive that they do a little bit of sort of background onto what is going on, why is Subiaco so good, and can we, you know, give some kind of equalisation measure to the other teams in the competition. But I think you've also got to give Subiaco an enormous amount of praise and respect. Mm-hmm. And you can't punish someone for being good at what they do. You can't punish Subiaco for being a good and professional football club. So, I mean, look at the early 2000s in the AFL. People, well, I was only young back then, but I don't recall people being too scared that, you know, the AFL was going to disform into this Brisbane Lions flag fest, albeit that they won three. And then in recent years, Hawthorn know, been the dominant team for so long. And they're the AFL version of it, I suppose, who they've never really had to basically bottom out to get back up to the top of the ladder. They didn't play finals this year, but they were only a game or so out. So going back to the waffle, lots of things you can do. I am glad they're having a look at it, but as I said, the other eight clubs will be looking at what Subiaco do, both on and off the field.
Fair point, Jimmy. Give credit where credit is due. Maybe if they hadn't won by 96 points, we wouldn't have even been looking at it. But Jimmy, appreciate your time and glad that you've got the day off. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ash. Thanks very much, Sam.
Well, it is almost time to end the Monday Waffle podcast, not just for this podcast, but for 2019. But before we go, we would like to recap the grand final results across all leagues. So if we look at the Waffle reserves, it was Claremont that managed to get the win against West Perth. The final score there, 9-12-66, and Claremont with 3 points ahead, 9-6-69. So well done to the Claremont lads.
And in the Colts as well, only 5 points in the grand final. Such a close match between Claremont, 13-4-82, against Peel Thunder, 11-11-77. So well done, Claremont, but also well done, Peel Thunder.
Yeah, well done, Claremont, for both of the leagues. And then Subiaco, no doubt, will be celebrating as well. Sam, you know what it is time for?
It's time for the goodbyes.
Absolutely. Time for the goodbyes. It's been a wonderful 2019 season. We have to say a big thank you for Edith Cowan University for allowing us to use their studios. And also thank you to all the other co-hosts here on the Monday Waffle podcast. And also a couple more thank yous as well.
Yeah, that's right. So it's been a whole team here. And I just would also love to extend a massive thank you to every player and coach who's taken their time to appear on the Monday Waffle this season. So thank you from all of us, and we can't wait to hear what next season's broadcasters bring us.